Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Orchid Pharma Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Vishal Manchanda. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Hina. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, I welcome you to the Q2 FY26 earnings call of Orchid Pharma. We thank the Orchid Pharma management for giving us an opportunity to host the call today. We have with us the senior management of the company, represented by Mr. Manish Dhanuka, Managing Director, Mr. Mridul Dhanuka, Whole-time Director, Mr. Sunil Kumar Gupta, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Kapil Dayya, Company Secretary. I now hand over the call to the company management for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vishal. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Manish Dhanuka, Managing Director of Orchid Pharma Limited, and I welcome you to our discussion on the results for the second quarter of financial year 2026. First, we go to the financial performance. For the Q2 2026, our sales stood at 194 crores, representing a decline of around 13% year-on-year. However, when compared sequentially, this quarter marks a modest improvement over Q1 of 2026 of around 13%. Global margins for the quarter stood at 32% compared to 43% in the previous quarter. We have faced a dual setback this year. As you may recall from our last call, we had decided to not chase volumes aggressively in Q1 and had instead held back material, expecting that market prices might recover in the following quarter. Unfortunately, that recovery did not happen. As prices continued to remain weak, we eventually sold the higher-priced inventory that we were carrying at the prevailing market rates. Additionally, we increased our sales in emerging markets once it became clear that volumes and prices were unlikely to recover. In emerging markets, where price realizations tend to be lower, this further impacted profitability. Together, these factors led to a significant reduction in gross margins. EBITDA for the quarter was 6 crores compared to 14 crores for the last quarter, primarily due to the margin compression and inventory revaluation. The AMS division sales have grown by 40% since last quarter, although on a very low base. The drag from AMS division continues, however, reducing on a quarterly basis. Now, a brief discussion on the market environment. The broad antibiotics market remains under severe strain. The downturn that began in the first quarter has persisted and, in some segments, even deepened. Our analysis of exports out of India shows that for this quarter, the overall quantity of antibiotics exports fell by 26% year-on-year, compared to a 23% decline in the previous quarter, while export value dropped by 36% compared to 37% in Q1. This persistent decline clearly indicates that there is no real recovery either in volume or in price. The situation is similar in China. Our market sources there indicate that both domestic demand and export activity have slowed in China sharply for the cephalosporin-based antibiotics. In summary, we continue to face one of the most prolonged and broad-based slowdowns the global antibiotics industry has seen in the past decade. A brief discussion on some strategic initiatives. Coming to our strategic initiatives, I am pleased to announce that following our update last quarter on Allecra's insolvency and the resulting uncertainty around Orchid's royalty streams, the acquisition of global rights to enmetazobactam and the trademark Exblifep has now been formally completed. This is a transformative development for Orchid. It gives us full control over the regulatory and commercial strategy for this innovative antibiotic worldwide. According to our estimates, this asset should lead to an economically significant revenue and profits for Orchid, as we will now try to out-license the product in multiple markets across the world. all future economic benefits, including the double-digit royalties from advance in Europe, will now accrue directly to us. Globally, Exblifep has already been licensed in Europe, MENA markets, and price approvals in five largest EU markets, that is Germany, France, Spain, Italy, and UK, are expected to be completed by the end of this calendar year, which should bring in the sales. At the recent CPHI event, we held multiple discussions for further licensing opportunities. While it is too early to announce details, we hope to share concrete progress on one or more new licensing arrangements in the coming quarters. Orblicef. Our domestic demand for our brand Orblicef continues to perform well. In fact, we have exceeded our one-year targets supported by our partnership with Cipla and the strong field presence of our AMS division. Prescriber acceptance remains encouraging, and we see this as a stable and growing segment for Orchid in the Indian hospital antibiotic space. Antimicrobial stewardship. The AMS division continues to expand its engagement with hospitals and clinicians, focusing on responsible antibiotic use and AMR awareness. While still in the investment phase, it is helping position Orchid as a trusted partner in critical care antibiotics. This platform will also be a key success factor in launch and scale-up of cefiderocol in India, given its specialized positioning and the hospital-based prescriber audience. Now on to the projects. The 7-ACA project continues to progress in line with our revised timelines. I am pleased to share that all fermenters have been erected. This is a critical engineering milestone for the project. Other major equipment have started arriving. We are modifying our project execution strategy to ensure delays in civil construction do not slow down other parallel activities. Despite setbacks due to unprecedented rain in the region, we continue to target mechanical completion as announced earlier. Once operational, this facility will strengthen Orchid's API manufacturing base, reduce import dependency, and deliver long-term cost synergies. Cefiderocol project. The building structure is nearly complete on this project, and equipment deliveries have begun. We are on track for production readiness by Q4 of 26. Operational discipline. Even as we invest in new projects and differentiated products, operational discipline remains central to our approach. Maintaining cost stability in an inflationary environment while safeguarding margins in a declining market continues to be our key focus. Persistent volume and price pressure in antibiotics continues to weigh on revenues. At this stage, we see no signs of revival in the current financial year. However, our priorities for the second half of the financial year 26 remain very clear to us. Finalize licensing deals for Exblifep in new geographies, ensure fast-track progress on both projects, continue business development efforts while maintaining a wait-and-watch approach on the global demand recovery, and maintain our frugal management strategy, build volumes and credibility in hospital sales through AMS division initiatives. With the regained control of Enmetazobactam, a strong domestic hospital franchise, and major projects under execution, Orchid remains positioned to withstand short-term headwinds and prepare for long-term growth. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question comes from the line of Vishal from Systematic Shares and Group. Vishal, please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, on, as you said, enmetazobactam is showing a good uptake in India. If you could quantify something around this in terms of number of patients or probably value of how is it shaping up?
So around 15,000 patients have been treated. And we would have sold how many vials till now? 200,000 plus vials have already been sold, Cipla and ourselves combined. With respect to our sales, we are looking at good month-on-month progress, around 10 to 20% few months we get the incremental sales of Orblicef. So we are even planning to expand our areas, and we have started selling, we have started our enrollment of our employees for the east also. We were already present in south, west and north. Now we are going to start operations in east from Kolkata.
So do we have capacities to take further volumes? Hope that's not a constraint here.
No, that is not a constraint. So we manufacture API at Orchid Pharma. We have sufficient capacity, and the CMO from where we are getting the vials also has sufficient capacity.
Sir, would 20,000 per patient cost be a fair assumption on enmetazobactam India? So not from a retail point of view, but would this be a fair assumption from a manufacturer point of view, realization?
Vishal, we will not be able to share that number. I can share the retail number. It is 20 vials per patient with the 1700 rupees price. So ₹34,000 per patient is the treatment cost at retail level. Company level margins are complicated, so we'll not be able to share that.
Okay. And sir, again, with respect to enmetazobactam, as you said, your pricing negotiations have just completed for the top five countries in Europe, including UK. So does that mean there is no sales that we are realizing, that Advanced Pharma is realizing as of now in Europe, or is that the way to look at it?
So some market sales had already started. So with the five largest market of Europe, we just summarized the will happen. Germany was the first one to start 1 year ago. So their sales are happening. Spain, Italy and France, have started this quarter or will start by the end of this quarter, country by country. And UK had started last quarter.
Okay. So any sense, do you have a number as to what would be the Europe sales as of now?
Yeah, I think we'll have the number by the next quarter. We've just completed the closure. So we are now in official contact with all the customers and licensees. So we should start getting the data shortly. So from next quarter, we'll be able to possibly report some numbers.
And do you think it's going to kind of any sense on how that directionally, how is it shaping up? Like, can this be a very healthy product if just looking at Europe alone?
So we had a discussion with Advanced Pharma. They seem positive about the molecule from whatever they have seen. But, it takes a little bit of time to develop doctors' confidence, plus getting approvals from the, countries separately. Hopefully, in the next calendar year, we should be able to get the genuine sense. But from whatever response we have got in India, the efficacy of molecules seems good. And hopefully, if our partner markets it properly, we expect good returns.
Mm-hmm. Just a clarity on the India part, 15,000 patients, is it for this year or so far till date since this drug has been launched?
It was launched last October only, so just 1 year has just been completed.
Okay. And the traction, there is a month-over-month positive traction that you can see. While this would be a seasonal product, right? Or this is not a seasonal product?
Not really. It's I mean, your lung cases increase, but not significantly seasonal, I would say. The major indication is the urinary tract infection, plus hospital-acquired pneumonia. So I would not say it has any seasonality.
Got it, sir. Thank you. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ankur Chadha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. I just wanted to know, what do you think is leading to the decline in the demand? And is it just an oversupply problem? And if you could just let us know, like, globally, how's the cephalosporin market as a whole growing? Is it, like, growing at a certain sort of rate year-on-year, or is it declining?
So there are different factors according to us. Like I said in the speech, the export analysis shows that the overall sales from India to overall exports from India has declined. So that does not indicate any supply issue with respect to the pricing. It's actually a demand issue, I would say. So there is a decline in demand, and when we talk to our customers also, they feel that some reasons could be that last 3 years had shown very good growth. So some of our customers were anticipating the same this year, and they had probably taken a lot of inventories, and because they could not liquidate those inventories or did not see the same growth, so they did not purchase the APIs raw materials, which led to less demand at our end. And secondly, I feel that, you know, sometimes it depends that, you know, the season did not come up. One of the countries, some customers said that the flu season did not come out this year. Some countries have slightly clamped down on the misuse of antibiotics, so that would have reduced to some demand. In some countries, the government wants to reduce its healthcare expenditure, so again, they are trying to reduce antibiotic consumption. It's multiple factors, partly geopolitical factors with all the wars going on. Russia is a big market. There, some uncertainty lies. So I think there are multiple factors at play. Difficult to point out to one single factor.
But if you see the innovative molecules which are there, ceftolozane, cefiderocol, ceftazidime, avibactam, all of those which are in innovation stage are showing healthy growth globally. So resistance is a continued problem, and it is not that new class of antibiotics is there and suddenly infections will not happen. So we don't see any structural change yet. Right now, it is still market factors combined with all the cases Mr. Manish explained.
Yeah, cephalosporins remain the most favorite class of antibiotics, and that much we are sure that it has not been replaced by any other class or any new molecule. So that threat is not there.
Okay. So structurally, I mean, I remember seeing a presentation from Orchid Pharma maybe 4 or 6 quarters ago, where you had mentioned that cephalosporin as a market has been growing annually at 5 to 8%. I can't remember the exact number. But do you foresee this structural growth trend to continue going forward? Or looking at how things have shaped up this year, you think that might not be feasible?
This year would be difficult to predict, but in the long run, markets in Asia and Africa definitely should grow as more and more people get access to healthcare. In the regulated markets, which are fully matured, it would be difficult to say that this kind of growth will be there.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Ashita Jain from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, good day. Sir, couple of questions. Firstly, on the pricing part that you mentioned, is this only related to emerging markets, or are you also seeing pricing issues in the developed market as well?
I believe we have been able to maintain the regulated market prices for last two quarters. The threat always remains, you know, the regulated customers also get a sense of reduced prices, so they do start asking for reduced prices. The only positive thing is that there is a reduction in the raw material prices also. We have to evaluate that we don't give them more than what we are getting benefit out of raw materials.
Is it fair to assume that the current gross margin that we are seeing, the coming quarter should see the benefit of the lower raw material inventory going forward in the coming quarters?
That's what we are hoping for, because partly it is revaluation of the inventory on the basis of lower raw material costs and also liquidation of high value inventory. That's what we
understood.
Yeah.
Understood. And thirdly, is it possible to quantify the drag from your AMS division in this quarter, and what are the expected break-even timelines for this division?
It's come to around 1.8 crores per quarter, I think.
Negative, right? Drag.
Yeah, negative.
Yeah, it used to be 3
yeah.
crores. Yeah, it's
okay.
Come to about 1.8 crores this quarter.
And when are we expecting this division to break even for us?
So I think next year should be break even definitely.
So we are looking at this division as an investment. You see, I would say that if I have to consider just my sales team, I'm hopeful that maybe in the fourth quarter of this financial year itself we can be break even. But I'm looking at it from the investment point of view, because we have engaged a lot of doctors and scientists who are engaged in the antimicrobial stewardship program, which is basically our, you can say, show window to Gardfi and Shionogi for launching of Cefiderocol, which will be run on the AMS program only. So this is an investment for launching of Cefiderocol, I would say. But the sales team alone can be break even by last quarter of this financial year.
Understood. And on Allecra, are there any numbers in the current quarter, or any one-off related to the acquisition in this quarter? And how should we see Allecra merger into our numbers going forward?
I think we'll get the sales data from this quarter onwards, right?
Yes.
We just finished the acquisition. The sales data will come to us. December quarter sales data will come to us directly. Then we will have some sense.
So, till September, nothing is built in the financials.
Yes, yes.
But no one-off related to the acquisition cost or anything of that sort related?
Yeah, because all of that would be capitalized mostly, so nothing appearing in the P&L.
Okay, understood. And just on just two last things. One, on the enmetazobactam for the US market, how are we thinking for this drug and for the US in terms of out licensing? And secondly, just the update on the Dhanuka Labs merger. These are the last two questions from my side.
So on the US market, since we have just completed the acquisition, there were several discussions during CPHI. We are hopeful to sign a potential deal in the next 12 months. That would be our key target. And with respect to Dhanuka Labs merger, we have the next hearing in the last week of November. Hopefully, it would be passed by the courts. Right now, they have asked for report from government departments, which should come in the last week, and this merger would be completed.
I just would like to add that there is a difference between what strategy Allecra was following. They were only considering the regulated markets for licensing, whereas we feel that a large chunk of population lives in the non-regulated markets, and there is scope for this molecule in those markets also, considering our experience in India. So we are also talking to companies across the globe, even Latin America, some Southeast Asian countries, which were not under consideration by Allecra. So we hope we can do multiple small licensing deals in these countries, and that can add to both top line and the bottom line.
Sure. Thank you. That's really helpful. That's all from my side.
So US is not the only market available to us. We are looking at multiple markets.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Viraj Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
All of my questions have been answered. Just one question.
Viraj, sorry to interrupt, but you are not at all audible to us. Please increase your volume.
Am I audible now?
It's low. You need to increase it.
Hello. Am I audible now?
Yeah, you sound loud and clear now.
Okay, perfect. So all of my questions have been answered. Just one question on the debt side. From March right now, the debt has increased by 1,000 crores. So can you help me with that as to where has been the allocation for that?
Debt has increased by 1,000 crores.
I think there's some misunderstanding. It's not, debt cannot increase by 1,000
yes,
crores.
Yes, yes. It is not there. From where you have been
So I think there is some misunderstanding. It is not 1,000 crores. We'll just get you the numbers.
See, that is only 47 crores.
Okay, okay, my bad. Okay, 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 got it. Fine, fine. Fair enough. Right. That's it from all of my questions have been answered.
Mr. Mridul, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, his questions have been answered, he said, right?
Let me
check
with him.
Yeah, my question has been answered.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have some basic questions on, some technical questions on the 7-ACA project. So do we make cephalosporin C, that is KEF-C, in-house fermentation and then do the enzymatic conversion to get 7-ACA, or do we buy KEF-C?
No, no, it will be made in-house.
Oh, the fermentation will be made in-house?
Yes.
Okay, and then we will do chemical conversions to get 7-ADCA, 7-ACCA, or those also will be enzymatic conversions?
So it's process to process, it would depend what intermediate we are making. Some are enzymatic, some are chemical. But those would be done in ORCID facility. The 7-ACA requires only enzymatic.
Yeah. Okay. So to answer your question, CPC, CEF-C will be made by fermentation and it will be enzymatically converted to 7-ACA.
Got it. Got it. Okay. And extension to that, so say some of the beta-lactamase inhibitors, say our own enmetazobactam, sulbactam, they're all made in the penicillin side of things, where you start with 6-APA and then you penji and then go on downwards. So do we plan to do that also in the future once we are once we have capabilities for fermentation?
No, as of now we don't plan because we are not manufacturing penji. And those are synthetic products. They don't give you any significant leverage over China.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Are there any other fermentation adjacencies that you're looking at?
Right now, our focus is these two projects. Cefiderocol, selling our products in hospital, trying to be part of the B2C sphere in Indian pharma industry, and backward integration in 7-ACA.
Got it.
And I think I am hopeful that a significant revenue stream will be generated from the out-licensing of Xlifer.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Sagar Arya from Exponent Tribe. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have a few questions. You know, starting with the base business, obviously we've seen margins, gross margins erode to about 32% because of inventory situation and assuming pricing as well. Now, at least with the inventory situation almost behind us, when do we expect these margins actually the gross margins normalize to 40 to 42%? Is it something that we anticipate could happen over the next couple of quarters itself, or are we anticipating a longer period for this reversion?
Would not be correct to give you know exact guidance. We still need to see the recovery and the demand from our regulated customers. They are the ones who take this, you know, margins on a higher side. So that still needs to be evaluated. Would not be right to give you a confirmation on this at this time.
Sure, but do we have any indicative sense on when will the inventory at the customer end may also clear up, or is it something that we'll only find out with time?
Generally, all Western customers, you know, they after the Christmas only, they evaluate their demand, coming demand. So
understood.
The work would be very less in November, December in the Western countries.
Okay. And what are the numbers for Dhanuka Labs? I'm assuming that business may also have been impacted because of the current situation. So what revenue and EBITDA are we looking at there for the first half?
Yeah, so first half sales was 196 crores in Dhanuka. That there also around 25% reduction in sales. It's the same, I think the trend remains across the industry. The same.
And what EBITDA did we do in Dhanuka for the first half?
Not have the EBITDA. It's a non-listed. I would not have the EBITDA ready in this.
Okay. I think in the last call on Enmetazobactam, you mentioned, correct me if I'm wrong, that you will be getting royalties from August onwards for the sales of the product. Is that still the case, so that we will get royalties, or will we start getting royalties now post this acquisition materializing?
Yeah, so the economic effect will be with effect from 1st of August. So since the acquisition is completed now, we will get all of that data and then we will know what number was there actually with effect from 1st of August. But since the sale are very minimum, as we explained, the price approvals are still happening, the relevant numbers will start flowing in only from the next financial year.
Understood. And did you also get a sense on why Allecra was not able to find a buyer in US, because obviously it's been approved since Feb 24, right? Were there any specific reasons they couldn't find a buyer?
Nothing specific is available. Most of the people who were involved in that time in Allecra had left due to the bankruptcy, so we were not even able to communicate with them when the insolvency had started. Talking to market participants, what we are given to understand is Allecra's expectation was this to be a $1 billion kind of a number, and the other side did not think it that big. So maybe a valuation mismatch kind of thing was there, but we don't have any details. These are just, you can say, rumors.
And you said that you'll get hopefully a partner in the next 12 months. That seems to be fairly conservative, right? I mean, for a patented product, which I'm assuming has decent potential, should we not be targeting to get a partner ASAP and be really aggressive, at least on this front?
So, because we have to start from scratch, any large investment, anybody would be invested millions of dollars to get the product to market, set up the sales team. These kind of deal negotiations take time. So obviously our interest is to do earlier, and like Mr. Manish announced, possibly before US we will be able to announce a few deals. So we are working across the globe, not just US, Signing a relevant partner and actually getting the product on market, all of these things would take time.
And what would be a realistic expectation to get a US partner at least?
Yeah, I said within
the conversations are okay.
Yeah.
Because the conversations, I'm assuming, would be going on already, right? You must be talking to...
The acquisition is completed. We could not have said the acquisition is complete till it was complete, right? So it will start now. Yeah.
Okay. And do you have any updated, any sense on, you've often spoken in the past that this would be a $250 million product. Is there any change in that number on the lower side or higher side? Any more sense on how large can this molecule be?
At this stage, no. Hopefully, once we have a few more licensing deals, it would give us the confidence to come up with the forecast. Maybe by the end of this financial year, when we are sharing the end year numbers, maybe we might have something.
Okay. No, that's it from my side, sir. All the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up. So my question is on Allecra and Advanz partnership that they signed for Europe. Do you still think Advanz is the right company to take enmetazobactam to the market there in Europe? Because if you look at other drugs, all the other last-line antibiotics, they do well in Europe than US. Of course, there is antibiotics towards in US, which restricts the market in US. So far, are you happy with Advanz performance? Can we renegotiate the agreement to remove the exclusivity? Can we look for another partner in Europe? Because Europe, in my mind at least, is a bigger market than US for last-line antibiotics.
So, factually that is not true. If you look at US versus Europe for all the new last-line molecules, US is much bigger than Europe in total value. Secondly, at this stage, I don't think we are in a position to comment about Advanz. I think they have done a good job in getting all the approvals from Europe. And there is no option of actually getting out of the agreement. We should partner, continue to partner with the people we have done and trust them to perform while we continue to sign new licensees rather than opening discussions where the revenue stream is already set and locked in.
Okay. And I know you said that you're going to start negotiations for US. Does it mean there are no negotiations on the table at the moment, or?
Unfortunately, this is the level of detail we won't not be able to share.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Raj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just have one follow-up question on AMS. I want to understand how we should be evaluating AMS in the sense of, they are being from the reach perspective and things like that, that they are ready for cefiderocol launch.
So what I can tell you is that our focus is tertiary care hospitals. Although our molecule is in the first line of therapy, but it is better to launch it in the tertiary care hospital where the customer or the patient comes after using the other generic molecules. So, and if I have to give you an idea, there are about, I think, tertiary care about 1,200 hospitals in India, and we already have reached in 120 hospitals. So I can say we have, in last 1 year, we have reached 10% of the most important hospitals. We have our product available in Max, we have product available in Fortis, we have product available in Apollo, we have product available in Manipal. So all the large chains, we have an entry. And when we launched last year, we had missed the annual tender scheme of these hospitals. So we are hopeful this year we should be able to win some of the annual tenders as well.
Got it. Understood, sir. So, and you don't expect to see any increase in terms of the sales force. This sales force is sufficient enough to reach that number. Is one.
We have a budget and sanction of a sales force, but it is difficult to find a good manpower in the industry. We are not able to fill our vacancies. That is the challenge we are facing right now.
Got it. Okay. That's all, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Raj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have one small follow-up question. Will you be able to share the split between regulated and unregulated market revenue split?
Normally, the split for Orchid has always been 40-60, 40% regulated, 60% unregulated. So we share that on an annual basis. This quarter number I do not have.
Okay. Fine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank our shareholders, partners and investors for their continued support. Financial year 26 remains a muted year operationally, but we are using this time to build a stronger foundation for recovery and sustainable growth ahead. And thank you once again for your participation. Good evening.
On behalf of Orchid Pharma, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.